Revelation 19, begin reading in verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. I just caught something when I read that. Boy. You talk about good. Now, if you think much people, you would think voices. He said, I heard a great voice of much people. He said, what's that got to do with things? How about John 17? I will that they be one. Woo, glory, amen. Even as we are one. You think about that, amen. Whole bunch of people, but one voice. Ain't that good? I didn't plan on saying that. There may be some other stuff I don't plan on saying. Amen? That's good. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Verse 6, And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude. There it is again. Ain't that something? The voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, By the way, beloved, if noise bothers you down here, I ain't sure you want to go to heaven. Glory to God, it's going to be like a volcano erupting. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said the voice of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, here's our text. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'd like to talk to you a little while tonight about the marriage supper of the Lamb. God put something in my heart. This ain't in the notes when I sat down there a while ago. We'll turn to another text in a minute. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll just encourage us, strengthen us. I pray, God, you would thrill us tonight through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. May our souls, Lord, rejoice in thee. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us. Lord, that we might go out of here tonight and be a help to someone else along life's way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to John chapter number, I think it's chapter number 13. Let's try that one. John chapter 13. Again, this wasn't in the notes, but that with a study, but I want to share this with you tonight. Notice what the Bible said. This is a feast of the Passover. Jesus is having supper here with his disciples. But look at verse number 1. I'll show you what God put in my heart. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them, what's that say? Unto the end. Well, we're at a supper now where he's going to love us until there is no end. eternity. Amen. Ain't that good? Glory to God. He loved his own to the end, as far as he could go with them down here. And now we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to give you four things. I may not get them all tonight, but I've got four things in my heart tonight. Number one, this marriage supper involves jubilation. I'm telling you, beloved, people are happy to be there. Amen. I believe that when we walk up and talk to Peter, he might have something to say like he did on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's good for us to be here. Glory to God, it's going to be a marriage and a supper like no other. Say amen. I remember one year we had Easter dinner at my sister's, and she had a big wraparound porch on her house, and we had tables lined up. And I'm telling you, I come from a pretty big family. There's about 6 or 7 of those 8-foot tables all the way down the front porch. And we got up and we walked around the table. We had all the dishes sitting down the middle. And I'm telling you, from one end to the other. And we got up and walked around the table and got what we want. I liked it. You can eat more standing up. Time I got back to my seat, I done eat. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we're going to sit at a table. I ain't never seen one like it. You ain't never seen one like it. And Jesus himself's going to sit at the head of the table. And what a blessing it's going to be for the children of God. It involves jubilation. 4 times in that verses, those 6 verses, the Word of God uses the word hallelujah. 4 times, beloved. And it means an adoring exclamation. It means praise ye Jah. Amen. I'm telling you, Jehovah is worthy of our praise tonight. And beloved, I'm telling you tonight, there's going to be an adoring exclamation. And it's 4 times in 6 verses, and it's not used anywhere else in the Word of God. You think about that, beloved. I'm telling you, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The Word of God said, but they're revealed to us by his Spirit. He's trying to tell us here in the Word of God, it's fixing to get gooder than it is right now. Amen. I tell you, I left here Sunday after Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I thought to myself, it can't get much gooder. But honey, if Jesus comes and we sit down at that table with him, I'm telling you, it's going to get gooder, amen, than we've ever seen it down here in this world. Amen. What a blessing that is. Listen to these verses tonight. And talking about involving jubilation. And I want you to pay attention tonight to this little phrase, forever and ever. Forever and ever. No end. The Bible said in Psalm 30, verse number 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Psalm 52, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name. It is good before the saints. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. In Psalm 61 and 8. Listen to these verses. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 6. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with the trumpets of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy. Woo, glory to God. You say, preacher, why are we going to praise him forever? Because his mercy endureth forever. And ain't nobody going to be running around over there saying, look what I done. We're all going to be saying, listen, look what he's done. He had mercy on me. And that's the reason I'm standing here. That's the reason we'll be sitting at the table with the King of Kings one day after a while. The Bible said when David praised by their ministry and the priests sounded the trumpets before them and all Israel stood. Psalm 106:1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. How many believe we're a little bit behind on praise? How many believe we're a little bit behind on giving thanks unto the Lord? You want God to show up in your prayer closet? Just get in there and don't ask Him for nothing for a little while. Just begin to thank Him for something to wear and something to eat. Thank Him for your youngins and your grand youngins. Thank Him for your spouse. Thank Him for your church. Thank Him for the Word of God. Thank Him for access to the throne of God. You just start thanking Him and He'll show up every time. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Here He comes again, for His mercy endureth forever. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. How many believe He's worthy tonight? Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 145:1, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Honey, you might as well practice on the way. Because when we get there, honey, we're going to bless His name. Oh, glory to God. I still remember some of those old time meetings, Brother David, where somebody would hit the aisle. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it wasn't no show. But I'm telling you, all that would come out of their mouth was, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when God gets on you, wait till we get home. Amen. God will be on every one of us. And in unison, we're going to bless Him and praise Him forever and ever. Psalmist 145, verse 2, every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see in these verses, this is probably a couple, 3,000 years ago when this is being written, but they're not looking just to the church. They're already looking to eternity. And they're already thinking, beloved, this we're going to praise Him, oh, not till we die, but forever and ever. Amen. Because Jesus said, He that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? We're just going to change tense. Amen. We're going to go home to be with Him. Psalm 146:10, the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. Jeremiah 33:11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, glory to God, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause them to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. What a blessing. First Peter, here's some New Testament for you. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion, listen, forever and ever. Amen. I like that, don't you? Glory to God. This ain't some little thing we're going to do for a little while and then quit. Honey, I'm telling you what's the truth. It's going to get on. Say amen. You say, Pastor, well, why don't you shout more? I'll be honest with you, because I'm in a body that can only shout so much. Say amen. But when I get my new body, honey, amen, I'll never get tired. I'll never hurt. Amen. My voice box will never wear out. We're just going to shout around, amen, forever and forever. Glory to God. Not only does it involve jubilation, but secondly in the message, this marriage supper of the Lamb, it involves preparation. I know Caleb and Lindsay's getting married, and Chloe and Chance, they're getting married this coming year in the spring, and I guarantee you there's already preparation being made. Amen. You don't just show up on the wedding day. Amen. Well, you might, but it may not go too good. Amen. Amen. There's got to be some planning. Amen. There's got to be some preparation. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in the text? I'm glad you asked me. Watch what the Bible said. In verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. That's what we've been talking about. And give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife hath made herself ready. Glory to God. You don't just walk into this marriage. There's some preparation has to take place. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew for just a moment. And the Bible said in verse 8 there, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Matthew chapter 22 for just a moment tonight. Let's look at this just a little while here. Matthew chapter number 22. I want you to see a few verses of Scripture here, and I want to key in on the preparation. Matthew chapter number 22, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 1. Are you ready? The Bible said, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and he said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son." By the way, God's going to enjoy making a marriage for his son. Amen. You see, his son is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. Amen. The Bible said, "And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." Here's what I want to paint a picture of tonight. Listen, this preparation will never fall short on God's end. Beloved, when he told his disciples, "I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself." This preparation, as far as his part, will be absolutely perfect. Amen. But we have to be prepared for this marriage. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" The Bible said here, "I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready." But they made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. The word of God said here, he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways." You want to know why this preacher believes in knocking on doors? Why I believe, beloved, listen, that this Bible never ever told a sinner to go to church. You can't find it. If you do, you show it to me and I'll apologize for the statement that I just made. God never told a sinner to go to church. But I tell you what God told. He said to church, "I want you to go into the highways and the byways. I want you to compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." I know that's not like, but it's still Bible truth, and I'm going to preach as long as I'm living. Amen. It's still the truth of the Word of God. How many had somebody knock on your door? How many had somebody at work talk to you? Has somebody invited you, amen, to the house? Somebody loved you. Somebody prayed for you. And beloved, listen, I believe like Paul in Romans 1, I'm a debtor, both to the Jew and the Greek, amen. So as much as in me is, I'm going to preach the gospel, amen. I'm going to share the word of God with others. The wedding's ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Ruh-roh. You see, there's got to be a preparation, not only on God's part, but there's got to be a preparation. You don't get into this wedding, amen, apart from the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you don't have that garment on, beloved, you're going to be in the wrong place. Amen. And the Bible said here, "And he saith unto them, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Have you ever heard somebody say, "When I get before God, I'm going to ask him this and I'm going to tell him that"? Oh, no. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. we'll be speechless. The only thing that'll come out of our mouth will be praise as the God's people unto Him. Those that die outside of the Lord Jesus Christ will be speechless. There's not going to be anything that they can do or anything that they can say in that moment. Turn to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to quit right here tonight. Luke chapter number 14. I'm telling you, there's got to be a preparation. It involves a preparation. In Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 12. Let me see if I can find it here. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 12. I've got something wrong here. Oh, I've got something wrong. Maybe not. Maybe not. No, I believe it's verse number 16. I'm sorry. Verse number 16. The Bible said, "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time." How many believes it's about supper time? Glory to God. I'll tell you what, my mama had to holler at me two or three times about a lot of different things, but not about supper. Amen. When it was supper time, all she had to say is, "Boys, it's supper time. I was ready." Amen. He said, "All things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it." Isn't it amazing, beloved, how you can talk to people about Jesus and us knowing that He's done set the table. He's already made a preparation for a great supper and people will make excuse. And he said, another said, "I bought a yoke of oxen, five yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither." By the way, Brother Connor, you told me you've worked in the bus ministry and you've worked in the band ministry. You've worked in, and I appreciate that. But you know what? You and I both know if you work in that ministry, where you're going to have the most success is where they're poor. Listen to me. I'm not throwing off, but them rich kids usually got something else to do. They think it's something better to do. Amen. I'm telling you, there's children that eat better here at this church, amen, than they do at home. Are you listening to me tonight? The Bible said go. And the Bible said here, where are we at here? Verse number 21, the servant said, "Master of the house," he was angry. He said, "Go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room." You say, "Pastor, why are you going to keep telling people about Jesus?" Because I'm still here. And the fact, Brother Jason, that we're still here means yet there's room. Glory to God. That old song said, "There's room at the cross for you." I want to just change that up a little bit tonight and say, "There's room at the marriage supper for those, beloved, that are unsaved. If they'll just come to Jesus and get that garment on." Amen. The Bible said here, the servant said, "Lord, it's done, and there's room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go into the highways and the hedges." By the way, the fullest I've ever seen this church, that I've ever seen this church, was for Brother Don McCann's funeral. That's the fullest, Brother Jason, that I've ever seen this church. But did you know, Brother Jason, I believe we could have fit a few more in that night. And yet, there's room. We got chairs over there. How many's ever been in the churches? It happens a lot in them country churches, Brother Dale, where you set a row of chairs down the aisle on both sides. Brother Dale, when I first came to Oak Glen, I was sitting in the vestibule in a steel chair with a bad back. You say, "Why in the world did you do that?" Because I love the Word of God. I love the preaching. I love the people of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it was always in my heart, if there was a decent seat, to give it to somebody else. Amen. I had to stand up. He said, "Yet there's room." He said, "Go in the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Now listen to me. You can get caught up in this numbers game. You understand what I'm talking about? Just try to fill up a church by compromising. Fill up a church with rock and roll music and all that garbage. Somebody help me tonight. I'm telling you, listen. All I'm trying to say is we're not going to get caught up in a numbers game, but we've got Bible that tells us that God would love to see this house full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. People make excuses, that's on them. But what's our excuse for not inviting them? We know the truth. What's our excuse for not going into the highways and the byways? What's our excuse for not using the telephone? Amen? What's our excuse? I'm telling you, we're without excuse. Amen? We could even use the mail. You could send somebody a card. I've been saying this for years. I got to quit. It's 5 minutes after 8 already. Why, Brother Vince, do we have to wait on somebody to die to bake them a pie or bake them a cake? Right. Ladies, I'm going to tell you, you could have a ministry. Every week you could ask God to put some lost person on your heart and just fix them a pie and say, I just want you to know I love you. And I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to think about going without you. I'm praying for you. Amen. How many believe that'd go a long way? Amen. I believe it would go a long way. Amen. And I'll tell you, I'd love to see the day that my phone just rings off the hook. Pastor, there's somebody over here on such and such a street. They're wanting to get saved. Could you come over here? Amen. You say, I don't have to be there. You understand that. But I'm more than willing. Amen. I'm more than willing. How many's glad you come tonight?